the chair, friends, let me start by pointing to the fact that the reason why we are discussing rising food prices is a very positive one. The emergence of a much broader global middle class who can afford much better standard of living. Hundreds of millions of people have been brought out of poverty, in particular in Asia. They are now living at a living standard much closer to what we have had for a long period of time in the West. This is a very positive achievement, and it should be celebrated, but it's causing new problems. We should also remind ourselves that until very recently, at least in Europe, we destroyed food to keep the price low. Now we are seeing a new challenge that the prices are rising too rapidly. Again, this is a challenge, but it's also an opportunity. For the first time in a long period, we have a much better chance of investing in agriculture, investing right in agriculture, and rapidly improving the productivity in agriculture based on rising prices. So the overall picture is not only negative. There are a lot of positives in it also. But, of course, this gives no solution to the mother who is wondering what will my children eat tomorrow. And therefore we have to address the new challenges faced by food prices while understanding that the underlying causes may be positive. Number one, what should we do? We fully support the initiative made by the Secretary General that a task force should be established. We believe that the most important issue for this task force is to set up a global system for support to the extreme poor, in particular poor in cities who often use 70-80% of the income on food, while, for instance, in Norway we use 11% of our average income on food. It should also assist landless in the countryside, who is also dependent on the purchase of food. So a system should be set up for supporting these extreme poor of the world. It should be overall based on cash rather than on food aid, because food aid tend to destroy local markets, and it must be done immediately. And it should be some kind of cooperation between the different parts of the UN system and the World Bank and the bilateral donors, and we should all give generously into such a system. Then, secondly, and in the more long term, we need, in particular, an African Green Revolution. If you look to the overall picture, in Asia, the arable land is not increasing, at least not very much. Still, the production from agriculture is rapidly increasing. In Africa, the picture is very different. The arable African land is increasing. A lot more land is now cultivated than 20 years back. At the same time, productivity is going rapidly down. There is much less production on much bigger land in Africa today than it was 20 years back. So obviously there is a need for an African Green Revolution for increased productivity, and we celebrate the initiative made by former Secretary General Kofi Annan to provide leadership in this regard. Norway is ready to contribute into this. One area will be public-private partnership in the area of fertilizer. When I speak to African farmers, one issue very often comes up. They say, yes, I can improve my crop. I can change into more high-value crops. I can expand my production. But why should I? Because there is no market. If I change into some more high-value crop, I can't bring it to the market and no one can buy it. It shows how important it is to not see agriculture in isolation. Increased agricultural productivity is about ports to get the fertilizer in, roads to get it to the farmers, roads to get the products to the consumers. It's about health, it's about education, it's about the broad agenda of development. So that's why we should overall increase our development contribution, not only to agriculture, but to agriculture within a much broader context, and Norway stand ready to do this. Then, of course, climate change is coming in as a new constraint to increased agricultural production. I was visiting Australia 1 week back, seeing how the drought in Australia is putting new strains on the farmers there. The individual farmer changed from rice to wine. It's a completely rational decision from the position of the individual farmer. You get more value at a drier land, but it has an impact on the overall rice production of the world. So we should put all our efforts into making the Poznan conference later this year, and in particular the Copenhagen conference on climate change, a success. That is a precondition for succeeding in the field of agriculture as well. Then coming to the end, the sterile debate on biofuels should stop. It is not about for or against biofuels. I celebrate biofuels as a very important means to fighting climate change, but not all sorts of biofuels are good. It's exactly similar to, say, the debate about hydropower. Everyone would in principle be in favor of hydropower. That is not to say that you would accept whatever river anyone proposes a project. Same here, we should avoid the negative biofuels. We should support the positive biofuels. I agree with the suggestion made yesterday by Minister Sun from China. He suggested that we need global global guidelines for what is acceptable biofuels, what biofuels contribute to what we want to achieve. And we believe from the Norwegian side that the United Nations should be in the forefront of establishing these global guidelines, global certification systems for biofuels. Let me then end by also supporting the initiative so generously made by Prime Minister Zapatero from Spain. He suggested that this should not be one in a kind conference, but that we immediately after the task force has made some of their suggestions should again come together to make certain that we are not losing speed in our efforts to put the issues related to food crisis on the world agenda. And Norway stand ready to support this Spanish initiative. Exact timing for a new conference can be discussed, but we should not lose speed, and then we need a new target, and such a conference could set such a target. Thank you so much.